Patton Cook, Greg Pope, Strikers Bear Family Fun Center Studios. John Burton is on his way to New York City. Of course, the Vols and the Owls of FAU Thursday night. I believe that's, what, 8 o'clock our time from Madison Square Garden. He'll be up there covering that for News Channel 5. The media availability tomorrow, he'll be checking in with us Thursday morning. And then he'll either fly back Friday or fly back Sunday, regardless of that. Brad Powers, Brad Powers Sports, Bill Keene link at the top right of the page. Brad Powers 7 on Twitter. Brad, good morning. How you doing, man?
How you doing? Well, thanks for having me.
Hey, I read a tweet, I believe it was Saturday, from you about the unders that hit up to that point, NCAA, NIT, CBI, at 77%. Through the first 4 days, where is the unders?
I haven't added it up yet, for all of them yet.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking just, the NCAA tournament, we've had 17 overs, and if I can do my third grade math correctly, that would put us at, 45 unders? So 35.
Is that something?
Yeah, sorry, 35. 35 and 17. That's the NCAA tournament. I haven't done the CBI NIT. I haven't updated.
Well,
great radio, Greg. I'm
that's
sorry.
Okay. No. I just saw your tweet. That's fine. It's you are great radio, Brad. I'm the one that usually screws this up. Though unders, the first four. Is there any historical perspective that's been a trend 5 years, 10 years, or is it just something that occurred this year?
It's the highest win percentage ever for a total over or under. First round, second round situation. You don't get 35 and 17 too often on that. There really isn't. I can tell you the market, I would definitely trends more under than over, which should surprise a lot of people because obviously NCAA tournament's a very square market, but I can tell you the bigger money's almost always on the under, almost blindly. Starts in conference tournaments. I mean, if you read the odds screen and just look, here's what the consensus opening number was. Here's what the consensus close was. I followed it this year. I would say 80% of the time that consensus open total went down to what it closed at. So you almost see consistent money on the under.
Well, why does just not just do every under? Is that no fun?
I should, hindsight's always 20/20. I mean, I do definitely, I would say, I know conference tournament week, I would say 80% of my bets were under. Should have been the case in the NCAA tournament. It wasn't the case for me. It should have been. But, to me, it's either under or pass for the most part. I mean, I would say if I'm making 10 totals bets, 8 or 9 of them are unders. So it's, I know I definitely go that way, period. But, I mean, blindly betting, I mean, you're just not going to – number one, people, your average Joe doesn't have the bankroll for it to bet, you know, the 16 unders in that, you know, opening Thursday. They're just not going to do it. I mean, they're going to – what they'll do is they'll put their entire bankroll in the first four games, whatever they got, first four games, and then whatever they win or lose or whatever, they'll carry it over to the next set of games, and they just continue that. And – a lot of times, I mean, put it this way, the opening day crowd on Thursday, the sportsbooks here in Vegas are a lot more jam-packed than what they are on that last Sunday night. And there's a multitude of reasons for that. Mainly, guys are, they've already went belly up.
One of the most famous or infamous lines in it is, double up and catch up?
Yeah, and people do it, but you can't chase. Not in today's day and age. I mean, the lines are – we just got done saying I know the unders are 35 and 17, but generally speaking, I mean, these lines are really sharp. It's tough to beat it. And, if you don't believe me, and I can tell you from a lot of guys that I've talked to that I respect, and a lot of guys that make a lot more money than me and have – I mean, we're talking seven-figure bankrolls. This has not been great. I mean, the NCAA tournament was not great. It's tough to beat, and – even with significant line value, it was not a week where everyone's really celebrating right now.
And Brad Powers with us, Brad Powers 7. And one thing I like about Brad, when Brad has a bad day, he'll tell us. And Sunday wasn't a good one for you, was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was historically bad for me. I mean, I went 4-16, and here's the thing. I probably overbet, and, wow, you shouldn't do that. I thought you were a pro. Well, I knew I had an edge. I mean, all 20 bets, I had the line value. Well, what's that? Well, whatever I bet at the number at and what the line closed at, I'm, on average, I had more than 3 points per game. I mean, that is significant. That says, I mean, my chances of going 16-4 greatly superior to going 4-16. I mean, it almost should be a statistical, improbability, but, there I was, 4-16 with, 3 points per game of line value, whether it's side or total. I mean, the FAU bet them minus 11 and closes 16. I knew going in that I had the advantage, that I was going to have a lot of closing line value. So I did bet a little bit more than what I did the first 3 days of the tournament. So should I have done that? Hindsight, probably not. But my thought process was this. When I was making these bets on Saturday night, I thought, well, they got the B team in the sports books right now. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's an A team, your A guys that are there all day making lines, putting up numbers and whatnot, booking games. And then late at night, and this is after midnight Eastern here in Vegas after 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. B team's in. They're not making good lines. I'm taking advantage of them, betting heavily, and they got the best of me, to say the least.
And at that moment, how many of them follow the leaders?
What's that?
When a line comes out by one book, they all just sort of follow mindlessly, don't they?
Well, I mean, that's all the time. I mean, it's a copy. It's a copy and paste. There's only a couple of books that set a line, and then it's just copy and paste. So there's really no bookmaking anymore, hardly. I mean, 20, 30 years ago, each individual book in Vegas had their own sportsbook guy, and he had his line on the game, and he dealt with it. Now it's just whatever sharp book has it. Everybody moves off the odds screen. If one book's there and they consider it to be sharp, they move their odds. You'll see it just light across the board. Every other book will follow suit.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com, Bill King link, top right of the page. Of course, he's on with Bill every Friday morning, the 8 o'clock hour, and Brad Powers 7 on Twitter. The story of my life is having Gonzaga minus 4.5 and TCU. The game's over, and Jack's won from about 30 feet to cover, and you could just hear on one side the applause and the other side the groan of in that building.
Yeah, it was. I was already frustrated at that point because I bet the under. That was one where I had like 5 points. It was, I believe, under 158-ish, and it closed 153. Thought I was in good shape, and, I mean, it just, what was there, 12 points in the final 13, 14 seconds. It had already gone over, so I ticked. I thought I was staring at 2-0 on the game, side and total. And then to go from 2-0 in the final 15 seconds to go to 0-2, on stuff that just shouldn't have not have happened. It summed up my entire night, I mean, and day. I mean, that was the final salt in the wound, the nail in my coffin for that Sunday being my worst gambling day ever. But half court shot. I mean, number one, I'm a competitor. I'm not letting somebody roll. I don't care that I'm going to win the game. I'm not letting them roll up the ball up the court. You're not doing that on my watch.
And
if I'm a Gonzaga player, I'm saying I don't fly with me. So.
Well, and
you're gonna get a hand. I'm gonna challenge you. I mean, if I'm on the floor, you're getting challenged.
Do you think those players know the number? Seriously, at that moment?
Yeah, I think some players do know the number now. I think the player for Texas A&M, TC, I thought he knew the number when he hit the shot to cover against Alabama. I think it's widely available now and widely known now that I think a lot. Now, does that automatically say that these kids are gambling? No, but I do think they know.
Yeah, it's you see things and go, that just doesn't look right, But I don't think I just think they know what the number is, and they're not doing it for themselves, but, maybe they're their dorm floor or something. I don't know, but it's certainly with the
I don't know if there's anything nefarious. With the legalization, this was the big misperception. With legalization, there's less corruption. Because, not saying that not an individual game can't get it, but once that they see some irregular activity, they're going to pounce on that. And look, a lot of the gambling scandals at Arizona State, at Toledo football and stuff, that was caught by Vegas, not anybody else, not the FBI or anything like that. It was caught by Vegas seeing irregular betting patterns on games that shouldn't be getting a lot of action.
Brad, I see where you have Calipari and Matt Painter getting fired.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that's, you know, barroom talk, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's all about ROI for me. And, I mean, Kentucky won NCAA tournament game in 5 years, NCAA tournament win in 5 years. I mean, that's not a lot of good ROI. Should have beaten. That was one of my losers, you know, bet them against Kansas State and just, you know, couldn't get the job done there. And then, I mean, come on, your last three tournament losses for Purdue, 13 seed, 15 seed, 16 seed. I mean, totally unacceptable. I mean, Purdue's effort, it's one thing, and I know I'm dating myself with this, but with this reference, but Villanova, when they won the title, they famously shot, what, 70-plus percent from the field to beat Georgetown. If your opponent has one of those historic shooting nights, whatever. Fairly Dickinson did not shot the ball 38% from the field as a 16th seed, a terrible 16th seed, I might add. One of the worst 16th seeds that's ever made the field. I mean, they didn't win their conference tournament. They were an underdog in the first four game against a losing team in Texas Southern, and the market was against Fairly Dickinson. For Purdue to lose that game, I mean, I don't know. I mean, and the way they played, I mean, scared, literally scared of a 16th seed, scared to shoot from the outside. I mean, and the game plan, I said pull scholarships. In the NIL era, I mean, I don't care. These kids, hey, these ain't kids anymore. They're getting paid. They're paid employees. Pull the scholarships.
Do you make much, sort of like in the bowl games, oh, this conference did that, or, you know, well, you know, because, but more these games obviously mean much. Big Ten had 8 entries, only 1 remained. The SEC, 8, 3 remained, but then the Big East, 5, and 3 remained. How much do you look at how the conference have done up until this point?
A really good question. I do, and the market does too. You'll see, like, the Mountain West has historically been pitiful, and yet for the second year in a row they get 4 teams in. Well, what happens? The teams are struggling. So what happens in that final game? We saw money continue to trickle in against the team from the Mountain West, that being Boise State in the Northwestern game. Even on game day, there was money coming in against Boise State as the, you know, you were getting those data points that said, hey, the Mountain West yet again looks like it's overrated. With the Big Ten and obviously the Big East, yeah, you certainly – I mean, that just goes to show you that your majority of your schedule you played, maybe we gave you too much credit for it, a la the Big Ten overrated or the Big East underrated. So am I blindly betting, you know, every Big East team and playing against every Big Ten team? No, but the market does move a majority of the time off of that. We constantly in the market want more sample size, more data points. And if you don't have a lot of recency as far as teams playing one another, non-conference, other than the tournament, that's all you can go off of. So, I mean, you don't want to ever overreact to your very last game. But, I mean, it is what it is. If all 5 teams in one conference are underperforming, that goes to tell you that, hey, man, maybe this team that's coming up next isn't very good.
Let's look at a few particular games. First off, before we do that, NIT, can you find value there because it's secondary to the NCAA?
Yeah, I mean, you can. I haven't bet too much of it. I mean, it's a pretty sharp market. I mean, a lot of teams, you know, a lot of times you can find, hey, somebody wants to be there, somebody doesn't. Well, the teams that didn't want to be there, a la Rutgers, lost, you know, early, Clemson. And, you know, loss is a 15-point favorite to Morehead State. I mean, that's good. That's done and over with now. So, yeah, I would say first round, yes, you can find value on teams that, you know, maybe just got left out of the NCAA tournament. They don't want to be there. Well, they're already gone now. Now when you get to, you know, the quarterfinals and stuff, now I think teams that after they won a couple games, that I mean, they're looking to play for a championship now. And I know you're going to ask me UAB Vanderbilt. I don't see too much value in the game. We haven't seen too much market move. I think both are, you know, both teams, I think, are play-on teams. Obviously, both, for the most part, are playing their best basketball of the season, especially Vanderbilt. UAB's got one of the best players in the country, and that's what you want this time of year, a go-to guy. I don't see too much value. I will say this. early money, and I would say almost all money. We're talking the NIT for a Wednesday night, and these lines got opened up, I believe, on Sunday night. A lot of the early money is on UAB.
Wow. Is that just the last thing we remember is Vandy having to rally from double digits in the last 2 minutes, yet they get the credit for the win, but not how they got to the first 39 minutes of a game?
Yeah, I mean, and against a shorthanded Michigan team that was without a couple of starters, so that wasn't a great look, and the market probably a lot of money came in on Vanderbilt late in that game against Michigan on game day, and a lot of people lost a lot of money on that game, so maybe there's a little bit of negative bias there, where UAB's comfortably won each of their first two games.
Tennessee, FAU, 5.5 is what I'm seeing. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, it's another one where not too much movement. I mean, a little bit of early money on Tennessee. I didn't get to the window quick enough there, but it's been pretty much stuck on 5.5 for the last 24 to 36 hours. It's in Madison Square Garden. There's kind of a unique shooting backdrop there. The lighting is a little bit darker than a lot of other arenas. There's Madison Square Garden. I mean, you can. There's an aura about it. I kind of want to play under, but I prefer first half under to avoid the late game foul situation there, and it's a relatively low total. I mean, we are talking about two defensive oriented teams, specifically Tennessee. Under in the first half for me would be the bet, pizza bet right now.
And Gonzaga UCLA, West Coast showdown, obviously. And the game is where is it?
Vegas.
Right there in your backyard in Vegas, right? Arkansas, yeah. And UConn. Can I come out?
I mean, it's a really good. We have the best region.
I know it. Both of those games, really.
Yeah, very good games. I mean, if you said that was a Final Four, I wouldn't really blink too much. I'll go both matchups. I kind of like Connecticut. I don't know how to quantify this, Greg. And you've been watching basketball longer than me, but I've been watching it. I was actually more of a college basketball fan than a college football fan early on in my life, but. Man, 30 years of watching it, Connecticut just has that look. I mean, you just go through their players. They got the big men. They got the swing player. They got, a three guy that could also play point guard. They have outside shooters. They just have that look of a team that's going to make a hell of a run here. And even though I think Musselman, the Arkansas coach, Musselman's a better coach than Hurley, I'm going to take Connecticut -3.5. Gonzaga, UCLA, I got to look at the injury situation more for UCLA. They had another player go down, Singleton. Looks like he's going to play. But how bad is that ankle sprain for them? They already have lost a couple of key guys in the last couple of weeks. Typically I want to take the defensive team over the offensive team, that being UCLA over Gonzaga. But with UCLA a little bit banged up, I'm going to have a slight lean on the Zags here +2.
Do you play who's favored to win it all from here on out? I think that would be Alabama, I'm guessing, right?
Well, I mean, it has to be Alabama because I'm going to be honest with you. When you look at the entire left side of the bracket, not only their region, but the region that they'll play in the Final Four, I mean, this is not a shock. I mean, Alabama, as long as they play at least a B game every game for the next three, they should be playing on Championship Monday night. I mean, they're just going to be a significant favorite over anybody that they play in the next three rounds, that being Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and the Final Four semifinal. So they play their B game, not a C game, but just at least a B game. They should be playing for it all. So yeah, they should have the shortest odds. Look, I think there's a lot of good teams on the other side of the bracket. Houston, Connecticut, UCLA, Gonzaga. I mean, if I'm stack ranking them, top 10 teams left, I would say 8 are on the right side of the brackets compared to Alabama's side. So yeah, Alabama deserves to have the shortest odds, even with the distractions of Brandon Miller and whatnot.
Brad Powers every Wednesday morning at 9:25, every Friday morning at 8 o'clock with Bill King. Tell people how to get in touch and do some business with you.
BradPowersSports.com. Click on the Bill King tab, top of the page. Download past issues for free. If you like what you see, you can purchase anything, whether it's basketball, the upcoming football. I will go to football full-time here in the next couple of weeks, so we always keep an eye towards that. But if you can check it out, BradPowersSports.com. Click on the Bill King tab.
Thank you, Brad. Good luck. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Hey, thanks for having me, Greg. I'll save a spot for you here if you want to make it out here for Thursday night.
You better be quiet, okay? Yeah, it wouldn't take much for me to just leave, period, okay? For somewhere warm. Yeah, it was like 20-something degrees yesterday here.
Oh, my God.
I know.
It's raining here. It's raining right now here. Unbelievable.
Hey, Brad, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, take care.
All right. Run a little.